You're tuned in to CHUO 89.1 FM. My name is Pat Harewood, and I'm very pleased to have with us in studio today, Kiri Daniel, who is the ED, the Executive Director and founder of the Black Women's Institute for Health. Welcome to Black on Black.
Thank you very much for having me, Pat.
So I want to just begin by giving you an opportunity to tell our listeners who you are.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, this is always a tricky question. I think as Black women, we wear so many hats, right? First and foremost, I'm a mom. I am a mom of two. I am a community advocate. I have worked on initiatives such as the One Vision, One Voice project that looked at the overrepresentation of Black children in the child welfare system. I am a co-founder and the first executive director of an organization called Parents of Black Children. I have a podcast and blog called Woke Mommy Chatter, where we document and share stories about Black motherhood. And now I'm the founder and executive director of this organization, Black Women's Institute for Health.
Wow, sounds like you're really busy. All of those things, right? As you said, wearing many hats, that's sort of part of the experience of many Black women in this, yeah, in this country. Yeah. I want to hear what you are doing at the Institute, because of course you are the executive director, you're also the founder. It's the first institute of its kind in Canada. I haven't seen anything like it anywhere else in the country. So first of all, maybe you can tell me what the Institute is as a nonprofit and what its mission and vision are.
Yeah. So, you know, we're a nonprofit organization, and we're really dedicated to advocating for the health and survival of Black women and girls. And what that means is that we're looking at the social determinants of health. So there are many, you know, Black-led agencies and organizations across this country that do phenomenal work, many in healthcare. But, you know, we're not specifically looking at it from a clinical point of view. We're looking at all of the things that define our well-being, our health and well-being. So our mental health, we're looking at access to housing, employment, our finances. So all the things that make us who we are. And, you know, the real goal of our organization is to mobilize our communities for tangible change within policy and legislation. And we do that through initiatives like the Voices Unheard survey. And, you know, the reason is, you know, we can create as many programs as we want as community organizations. We can create program after program after program, but that's just, it's like, it's a plug, right? That's kind of stopping a waterfall. But what we need is to look at policy. We need to look at legislation. We need to look at the pieces that are governing how we navigate systems, and we need to change those if we want real systemic and sustainable change.
So you've focused on the fact that the Institute's raison d'être, so to speak, is to advocate for the health, and, you know, we talk about overall wellness, mm-hmm, and survival of Black women and girls. And one avenue by which the Institute is doing this work is through this new survey that has been developed. And I was wondering, the survey, Voices Unheard, is quite a comprehensive one. I want you to speak a little bit about it, but I do want to share with you that I had the experience of doing the survey recently, and there are other members of Black on Black that have done it as well. So maybe you could tell us about, again, this survey, Voices Unheard, Vital Signs Survey for Black Women and Girls.
Yeah, it is. I don't know why this made me feel so emotional when you said you did the survey, but I suddenly was, mm-hmm, a little bit overwhelmed there. It is comprehensive. And I think why I'm so emotional about it is because it's the first time that we can find ever in the history of this country, ever, that Black women have been surveyed to this extent in this way nationally. It's never happened. And to me, you know, it reflects such a lack of care about us and about our experiences. And I'll talk about what's in the survey in a minute, but I'll tell you, So how this came about was I was doing some research and I came across an article called "The Crisis Killing Black Women." It's in the magazine called The Nation, American magazine. And in there,
February 3rd, 2023. That was in February of 2023. So a recent article you
recent, written
mentioned.
by Callie Holloway. Just everyone should read it. Everyone should read this article. And so I read it, and in there she cites some statistics from the Center for Disease Control that says over the last 20 years, suicide rates for Black women in the US increased 72%. And for Black girls, that increase was 182%. And that sat with me for days, because I just thought, like, that's horrible. And I could, and I, the reason I looked for that article was because I had felt personally that there was something happening for Black women, and I just couldn't, there was just so much happening for us here. And I could see it in my friendship group. I could see it around me. And so I was doing a little bit of research, came across this article. And so when I saw that stat around suicide, I thought, let me see what's happening here in Canada. And there was nothing, nothing. And that's where the survey came from, the idea for it, because it's not just in around mental health that there's no data. We know anecdotally that our experience in the healthcare system generally is not equitable, right? Like, we're not getting the same treatment. We don't have the same outcomes. You go to your family doctor, you're fighting for a referral, you're fighting for this, you're fighting for that. We know this anecdotally, but even the data for that is not collected adequately enough. And so that's really what we wanted to do. And I always want to tell people that it's anonymous. So you don't, we won't know who you are, but it's comprehensive because it needs to be, because these questions in the history of our country have never been asked of us. And so we're asking for ourselves, for our life, for our well-being, and that of our children, our daughters, and our kid, like our kids generally, right? So, we ask everything. We're asking about your access to healthcare. We're asking about your employment experiences. There's data in the US that tells us that Black women are the fastest group of entrepreneurs are Black women, and they're also leaving the workforce at a really high rate. So we want to know if that's happening here. We ask what sector you work in. We ask about your finances, not like really detailed, just what your income bracket is. We ask about your contact with the child welfare system if you have children. And the reason we ask that is because we also know that Black families are more likely to be reported to CAS. Not that we do anything wrong, but we're more likely to be reported, and that has an adverse impact on our family structure, family outcome.
That was a hard one. That was a hard question
Yeah.
for
So we
me.
ask all of those things, and we're really trying to get a picture of the Black woman, the Black girl experience in this country.
Yes, now you had pointed out that it was emotional just hearing that I had done the survey, and in fact, that other members of the Black on Black team have also done the survey. We've been talking about it on the show. And, it's this piece around being seen, being heard, being noticed, and, what you highlight being cared for. And, I really want to stress that it's really important, as you said, for Black women and girls, 16 and over, to take the time. It only took me about, I'd say, 13 minutes to fill it out, because the data that will be collected is something, as you said, we've never had before. And so the follow-up question then has to be, what are you going to do with this data? Because obviously there'll be a richness in terms of the qualitative data. There's sociodemographic data there. There are very sort of detailed questions and identity that I appreciate in terms of, where are you from, but sort of drilling down, not just are you from the African continent, but really drilling down where in the, are you from the Caribbean? Which, generational questions, are you first generation? Those kind of questions are important. What are you going to do with all of this information once you've collected it, collated it, studied it? Where does it go?
So our goal is to we're going to create a report. And once we've launched that report, what we want to do is pull together a multidisciplinary table. So that means we want leaders, we want community advocates and activists and individuals on as part of this table from all walks of life. And what our goal is to start to go through the analysis that we find in the survey and look at where we need to think about policy changes. So, you know, if the survey, if we do find out, for example, that Black women are leaving the workforce at a higher rate, and then what does that mean around policy? Do we need to, are they starting businesses? And if they are, do we need to look at some policy pieces that are targeted specifically to Black women entrepreneurs? And what does that mean around programming and funding and all of those things? So we really want to take the data and start to examine where we can apply some advocacy at the government, the various levels of government, based on what the survey is telling us. You know, it's, we want the information, and that's, yes, absolutely. We need it because, you know, we are here, we're part of this country, and our experiences matter. So it's important to put this in our experiences into writing, because it becomes history, it becomes part of history. But more than that, we also want to see change. So that means we need to take these experiences and start to look at the policy pieces that will actually influence our day-to-day lives.
Now, I would argue you're already doing that, because I noticed that the Institute has already started to collect testimonials from Black women in terms of their experiences with the healthcare system or with other systems that interact with healthcare. And I also see that at the end of the survey, there's an opportunity to maybe participate in a focus group if you're interested. Yes. So yeah. I'm assuming that there'll be more qualitative data as well that the Institute will gather. Is that correct?
Absolutely correct. It's important for us. I'm a storyteller at heart, and it's important for us to ensure that we have opportunities to collect those stories and to speak to people. So yes, at the end of the survey, you can choose to leave a contact so that we can reach out to you to be part of a focus group where we can go into more depth, more detail, and you can share fully what your experiences are. And, you know, quotes and things like that will make it into the report, but they won't be attributed to anyone in particular. Yeah.
Now, I want to sort of go full circle and talk about this issue of joy, which is connected to wellness, because I'm very interested in what motivates you and in doing this work and where you find the joy. I mean, you've spoken about the article, The Crisis Killing Black Women, which was from The Nation in February of 2023. And I read that and was quite downcast or depressed in reading it. Not just because it resonated, but also because, you know, like you, I'm looking at my friend group and hearing sort of the experiences of Black women. You know, there were pieces there that really resonated with what I am seeing amongst my friends. Yeah. So I wanted to ask you that question about where you find the joy in this work, which can often be so difficult and emotionally intensive in terms of the labor that's required.
Yeah, I think that's such a great question. And I'll be honest, it is difficult and it is draining. And it's, I've had to take breaks and I've had to regroup. And for me, you know, the Black Women's Institute for Health and the creation of the Black Women's Institute for Health was also about my mental health. Because I wanted to create a space where it wasn't just about our pain, but we were also building spaces where we could come together, where we could support each other. So part of what we do, we have, we're going to be launching a Mothering Minds initiative for Black mothers at all stages of their journey. So whether you are a new mom postpartum with a newborn, or you've got, you know, grown children, the idea is that we can come together, support each other, and provide mentorship support to each other, because motherhood can be so isolating. And then you layer on being a Black mother, and that's really difficult. So there's that piece. And then just, you know, I really wanted to create a space of uplifting programs for Black women. and focus on our girls. I just see, when you talk about the heaviness, you know, mm-hmm. I see in the work I've done previously, I can see such, there's such, I don't want to use the word trauma lightly, but it's the only word that's right. coming to my head. And there's so much of that for that our girls experience in school. They are targeted.
Bullying, the intimidation.
It is bullying, but it is based on race. It is based on what they look mm-hmm. like. And the really sad mm-hmm. and disturbing thing that I found that no one's really talking about is sometimes it's coming from Black boys, which can be so much more disheartening yes. for our girls, which is also why we see those suicide rates, right, of you know, increase mm-hmm. like that. So I think building space to address those kinds of issues, like our girls are getting bullied about their body, the color of their skin, you know, mm-hmm. we don't want to date you because you're dark. We only date the light skinned girls, or it's cool to be biracial now. And people have actually said that, like my husband works with young people and he said right. that to me, that that's what the kids go around. It's just such a horrible, or like the dark skinned girls are only good for one thing. That's another thing that's floating around schools. Mm-hmm. Like I could tell you stories for days. Like, it's such a horrible existence and space for our girls to grow up in this environment. So really, for me, the joy is in trying to build a community and space to uplift our girls and to also provide support to our boys so that they are able to uplift our girls too. And they understand, you know, some of the damage that's being done. So that's really where it comes from. I'm a community person at heart, and everything I do is in service to my community. And I mean, the Black community is not a monolith, but I love us as Black people. I think we're amazing. And that's where I get the joy from, just being immersed and trying to think about ways to solve some of the challenges that come our way.
Well, thank you for that. And thank you for sharing, and also just for giving us those spaces to nourish ourselves, including just the act of taking the time to participate in this vital sign survey.
No worries.
Because in doing it, it was a recognition and realization that, you know, I matter and I mm-hmm. am being seen and heard, and other people in my community think yeah. that I matter too, right? So I think, thank you for that, and thank you for your work. I'm just going to close off with what next for the Institute and what people can expect. I know you've already mentioned some of the programs and spaces and opportunities that the Institute is making available to our communities mm-hmm. and all our diversity. I know also you have your handles at Woke Mummy Chatter, at Health for All Black Women, and at Kiri Daniel. So those are places where people can connect. But what next for the Institute?
Well, the survey is open till December 30th, and it's available healthforallblackwomen.com. So we will be gathering that data until the end of December. And then the plan is to analyze it and launch the report in the spring of next year, so 2025. And, you know, the Institute, we're just getting our grounding, but we're looking at one of the things that we kind of know, but we're also anticipating coming out of the survey, is that access to legal supports for Black women is challenging because it's so expensive. So we're looking at how do we build out a program to provide legal advice if you're experiencing, you know, anti-Black racism or any kind of workplace situation that you need support with. How do we provide that support? And I'll give you an example. I was working with a newcomer to Canada who was experiencing very blatant racism in the workplace. Like, she was being told that she needs to speak like a Canadian, that she doesn't know what she's doing, she shouldn't be here, why can't she be more like, you know, other people? And it was hard for her, and she ended up quitting and has struggled to find work. And what I would say to people in that situation is, don't quit your job. You start to build a case, right? There's a human rights right. case there. So we want to be able to provide that support. So that's one of the things that we're looking at, is how is to get funding so that we can do that.
Your work is important. It's necessary. It's being noticed. And we appreciate you for all that you do and all that the team, because it takes more than one person, of course, always takes a village to do this work and to continue to nourish yourself in doing it. So thank you very much for your time, Kyrie. I really appreciate our conversation. And again, I'm just going to plug that the Vital Signs Survey for Black Women is available on your website. That is the Institute, Black Women's Institute for Health website, until December 30th. So please do go and fill it out. As I said, it took me less than 15 minutes, and it's well worth it. Thanks again.
Thank you so much, Pat. Thank you.
Take care. You're still listening to CHUO 89.1 FM.